You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape flash? It's unbelievable.
Messi.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, welcome along to The Punt. Lee Phelps sitting in for Dave Kellner, who, because it's Aintree, is doing all horsey stuff, but I'm pleased to say two of the three wise men are still with us, Andy XL and Derek McGovern, both on the line. You well, chaps?
Yes, very well.
Excellent. I even understand that you had a winning nap last week, which is sensational news.
I'm on a winning sequence of one on the run now, so let's keep that going. Burnley, it was last week, never in doubt.
I was going to say, we've had about 32 weeks of the Premier League, so I'm guessing that's I was going to say, is that 2 in 32, I think. I remember you having one winning nap before at some point. We've got Ollie Holt coming on in a little while to talk about the Champions League week. We'll also hear the best bets from the English Football League divisions and in Europe. But first, as ever, we're going to have a look at the Premier League, of course. And it all kicks off this weekend, chaps, with Southampton versus Chelsea, 12:30 kickoff on Grand National Day. 100-30 the Saints at home, 5-2 the draw. Chelsea are away at 5-6. Antonio Conte's time as Chelsea manager has pretty much been in the balance since the start of the season, but the rumours are growing ever more that he is definitely going to go. Just 3 points ahead of Arsenal in fifth, and Saints are obviously desperate for the points to avoid relegation. Derek, I know Andy said this on numerous podcasts about this Chelsea team maybe have been looking forward to the World Cup rather than anything else, but this whole Premier League seems like everyone's got their eyes on something else apart from City, who are just obviously just waiting until they're crowned champions. Chelsea, not an awful lot to play for. I know there's that fifth place, but not much else is there in this game for them. Southampton have got everything on the line.
Yeah, the 10 points away from fourth, Chelsea, they've definitely given up on fourth spot, so they should do anyway, they haven't. More interesting is the managers, isn't it? The two of the biggest misery managers in football, I think Avram Grant maybe is the only more miserable one. Mark Hughes, he wears the permanent look of a man hauling a mattress upstairs while his missus is on the landing, nagging. And then you've got Conte, he looks like a man who's had a monster bet in the Grand National, only to discover that the rider is one Lee Phelps.
I'd never make the weight, Derek.
Carrying substantial overweight. Chelsea haven't played away in the Premier League, by the way, since March the 4th. They lost. The two Premier League games away before that, they lost two. Okay, the calibre of opposition is a bit better than Southampton, but they just don't look like a team that's up for it. Whereas Southampton is showing a little sign of life. I have to think Southampton here had a bet at these kind of odds. Right. I just think they're too big.
I mean, they obviously played your lot, Andy, didn't they, Southampton? And had a decent go at it, to be fair. Can you make a case for them beating Chelsea at home?
I can. Like Derek says, it's one of these that you hear from managers, the performances are better than results. And normally, when that's happening, a result comes around the corner. And I can see it coming. I mean, they did perform reasonably well against a sort of shadow Arsenal team last week. But I can see him getting something here. I can't convince myself quite that they'll do enough to win, though. So I'm looking at the draw at 5-2.
5-2. Does look a decent price for the draw. Enhanced odds available as we record this. Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win was 5-1. Now 6 is, of course, scored against Arsenal after coming on as sub. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 2-1. Is now 11-5. Whole host of other enhanced odds will be available on that game. And, of course, your odds available as well. Just go to the hashtag your odds on Twitter if you want to register your own bet. And just tweet at William Hill. So an upset on the cards at 130 for you, Derek, and a draw. So no one going for the Chelsea win in that match. The tea time game is Liverpool versus Bournemouth on Saturday. You'll probably just be watching the closing stages of the National as they kick off at Anfield. 2-9 Liverpool, 5-1 the draw, 11-1 Bournemouth. I did it this way, Andy, so give Derek a little bit of time not to crow too much about reaching the semi-finals. You can go first on this one. A betting strategy of one of the many betting strategies that I've had in my life and has been proved wrong is that, you know, teams do come down to earth with a bump after such a fantastic midweek that Liverpool have had. Bournemouth at home isn't the kind of game that you really can get up for after you've just beaten the best team in Europe, many people think, over two legs and made it into the Champions League semi-finals. But they've got to do that, Liverpool. The third in the table, joint on points with Tottenham on 67. If they want to overhaul Manchester United in second, if that is any desire to do that, then they need to get the job done here. It's 2-9. Do you trust them?
Not entirely, but talks about trust. This will be a game where the managers will find out which one of their players are punters, given the kick-off time. What they're doing in the change, are they doing a full warm-up? I wonder. I think Liverpool will win, but Bournemouth's form's been reasonable, and they're playing all right, and I can see them getting the goal. So maybe Liverpool to win and both teams to score is where I think you might be. I think that's around 6-4, and that might be all right.
Derek, there'll be a great atmosphere at the ground. You know, the celebratory atmosphere just from the midweek, of course. And Liverpool, let's not forget. I mean, I'm making a case there at 2-9 being way too short, and that it might be after the Lord Mayor's show. But they're unbeaten in 18 Premier League home games. That's the longest run in the Premier League at the moment. It's the best run that the Reds have had at home since August 2009. 31 games they went unbeaten then. So that they might not overhaul that. But they should get the job done here, Liverpool, shouldn't they? Is it just trying to find the value here?
Well, yeah, they should get the job done. But 2-9 is a ridiculous price for a team. Yeah, when you're backing a 2-9 shot, there should be no doubt about it whatsoever. You know, you think that's absolutely home and hosed. Well, this is far from that. Because of everything you've just said, you know, the after the Lord Mayor's show syndrome. I'm more interested. You know what you're doing, William Hill, your bet. You can pick what bet you want and ask Hill to give odds. What about how many hospitality seats will be empty come the kick-off time, where we're all still inside watching the end of the Grand National, which is always delayed, isn't it, by the starting judge. You also always, by the way, sounds like the judge at the beginning of porridge, you know, so toffee nose. In Ainsley, they have a toffee nose starter every year at the Grand National. Does my head in. I'll pick a bet here, and it's very unlike me, Lee. I've done a bit of research on this one. Now, in each of the last seven...
Just because I'm on.
Just broken out in a cold sweat at that news.
12th of... we're recording this on the 12th of April. Let me just note that down for Derek. 12th of April. Did some research. 2018. In fact, it's the first time since 2009 that it's coinciding with that Liverpool home run.
Hey, this will pay off, because it's a good bet, this.
Go on.
In each of the last seven Bournemouth matches, a goal has been scored after the 88th minute. Some of them, unbelievably, by Bournemouth, by the way. And, you know, you might put that down as a statistical blip, but the manager, Eddie Herbert, says it's, they've actually maintained their fitness levels to make sure that they're able to be strong late in games. It's an actual ploy by the manager. And so I've been looking at it. Bournemouth 2-1 to score more goals in the second half than in the first. I mean, that looks a big price there. The only danger is that they don't score at all, and the tie wins then. But they will score against Liverpool, because you've got to imagine in the second half, Liverpool will be knackered anyway after what happened in midweek. I think that's a big price there. 2-9 Liverpool makes zero appeal, but they could win easily, and then you made it look like an idiot by backing Bournemouth. So there's you escape the idiocy and you probably get a payout. Bournemouth 2-1 to score more goals in the second half.
Interesting bet. Yeah, I like that one. You'll find that down in the goals tab on the website or on the app. The enhanced odds here: Salah to score, Liverpool to win, both teams to score. That's 9-4. That still plays into what Derek was talking about there: Bournemouth getting a goal, and you're getting Salah on your side there as well. Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win. It was 14-1, now 16-1. A couple of stats around Salah, the Ballon d'Or potential player. Listen to that laughter in the background. He's one goal away from becoming the eighth different player to score 30 or more goals in a single Premier League season. He'd also be the first African to do so. 17 of his goals have come at Anfield this season. The last Liverpool player to score more at home in a single campaign was another one of Derek's heroes, Fernando Torres, back in 2007-08 when he got 21. Who's better, Torres or Salah, Derek?
Salah. I'm better than Torres. Salah will get my vote.
Who scored more in Liverpool, those two or Derek?
Those two. Tottenham versus Manchester City is at 7:45 kickoff. Fantastic Saturday night fare if you're not going out on the razzle and you want to just sit in the pub and watch this one first before you hit the discotheque. I know that's probably what Derek's night looks like. This should be an absolute cracker. Again, we're talking about Man City in an opposite way to Liverpool, you know, having to rise again after a difficult midweek. 13-8 Spurs at home, 5-2 the draw, and Man City are 13-8. Man City find themselves in a strange position here, Derek, don't they? Having lost three games on the spin. The Liverpool away leg, 3-0. Losing, of course, the Manchester derby, conceding three again there, and then conceding two to Liverpool in midweek. You kind of get the feeling, I'm maybe over-egging this a little bit, Derek, but if some of the other teams had maybe given them a better chase, the wheels might wobble a bit more. I mean, I know they're very close to getting the job done, and, you know, I think there are 18 points available, you know, if mathematically, and they're going to win the title, clearly. But you know, they're showing signs, obviously, in the Champions League, the Manchester derby, when they looked like in the first half they had the job done, and suddenly they find themselves staring down the barrel of a fourth straight defeat, because going to Wembley is no easy place to go with Spurs waiting for them.
No, exactly. I mean, on Grand National weekend, they're almost doing a Devon lock, aren't they, Manchester City? And you're right. You could argue that teams like Man United and Liverpool, had they been a bit more at it in the Premier League, they might have given them a bit more of a chase. And this wobble now, it could be looking at panic stations. But of course, they're so far ahead that they can afford to wobble against Man United. They could even afford to wobble against Spurs, because easier fixtures lie ahead. A really difficult one to call, this one. I mean, you understand why the bookies make them joint favourites, 13-8 Spurs, 13-8 City. I don't know which way to look at it. You could say that City are there for the taking because of what's happened over the last week or so. But then you could argue, well, you know, they can't afford a fourth defeat in a row, because then panic stations might just set in. And they're too good a side, you could argue, to go four defeats on the run. Spurs, I don't know. I mean, you look at it and you think, well, a draw would probably suit both sides here. You know, it keeps Spurs well ahead of Chelsea, keeps Manchester City ticking along, just another couple of points then, the title is theirs. I'm more interested in the Hill's odds again. You know, you always get odds for a red card to be shown. Well, even if it's got Dele Alli and Raheem Sterling go down more easily than West Brom, how about an equity card being shown? One of those two to be booked for simulation looks an absolute certainty, doesn't it? But as for the match itself, I'm going for a draw.
That'd be a cracking your odds bet, that wouldn't it? Either one of those to be booked for a dive. That'd be decent, that one, Andy.
I'll get on to them. I'll let them know that. Maybe we should frame it on Grand National Day, first faller.
Very good. That's excellent, yeah. What do you think, Andy, to this one, Tottenham versus Man City? Obviously, Tottenham got a lot to play for. Harry Kane is claiming he's scored more times than Derek. Everything that hits the back of the net, he's had a touch off at the minute. Him to score and Tottenham to win was 9-4, now 5-2. Sané to score and Man City to win, by the way, was 9-2, now 5-1. Tottenham get the job done here, Andy?
Do you know what? Unlike Derek, you can look at this two ways, and it's around Man City, really. What are they going to do? Are they going to have a chat with each other this week and say, look, enough of this, we're not losing four on the road, and come out really firing? Or is their season going to just fade away? It seems silly when they've won the league so well to say it could almost end up slightly disappointing. Mm. But it's really where their mentality is this weekend. And, you know, how can you guess that without actually being there in front of them? So it's how strong the characters are, and I've got a feeling they could actually come out firing, and then the 13-8 is a great price. But then if they don't, if it goes the other way, the 13-8 Tottenham's a great price. So really, I'm really steering well clear of this one, because I just can't predict how Man City are going to play.
There's an interesting stat, which I don't know if it, you know, it's one of those stats which when it lands, you go, oh, God, why didn't I pay any attention to that? But there's no rhyme or reason to it. This is the third Premier League game to kick off at 7:45 on a Saturday night after Southampton beat Arsenal 4-0 on Boxing Day 2015, and Leicester drew 2-2 with Manchester United on the 23rd of December last year. So four goals in each of the two games so far that I've kicked off at this time. Over 3.5 goals, anyone? I'm not sure you can base a bet on that, but...
Sorry, Andy.
Go on, Derek. Go on.
Of the four goals, how many will Harry Kane claim? He claimed one. He claimed Salah's in midweek. Harry Kane.
And you see, Pele tweeted saying that he scored about 1,000 goals and Harry Kane's claimed most of them. Over 3.5 goals is 6-4 in this one.
You know what? I wouldn't put you off that, because that's probably a reasonable look, because both teams are goal rich. So, you know, that's probably decent.
Yeah, I wouldn't put you off it, but by saying that, I'd probably put you off it.
that top goal scorer market, by the way, the reason he's obviously claiming goals is to try and catch Salah, who is 1-6. It's not that long ago that he was, you know, he was the outsider in this market, and it looked a cracking bet. Harry Kane 9-2, Sergio Aguero, by the way, 25-1 in the English Premier League top scorer market. So I can't draw you on a bet on the actual outrights there, Andy. Tottenham. Man City?
Not me. You've helped me out with the over 3.5. I like that. So that'll do for me.
And Derek?
Draw.
Draw. And that hashtag your odds bet that hopefully will get priced up, which is either of those players to be booked for diving. I do like that one, Derek. It's a nice bet, that one. Let's move to Sunday, 1:13. Newcastle taking on Arsenal. Arsenal, as we record this, are playing CSKA in the Europa League this evening. So obviously take into account the result of that and anything that happens. They are starting to find their feet again, to be fair, in the Premier League. Now have half a chance of catching Chelsea in fifth place. Newcastle pretty much safely marooned in mid-table, 38 points. They'll obviously won't go down. Derek, Arsenal, whether they can catch Chelsea or not is debatable. But I mean, for them to finish outside the four and outside the five, you know, in that bracket from sixth down to kind of 17th, where everyone's just much of a munchness, if we're being honest, it's just safety. Not great for them, clearly. The Europa League is everything for Arsenal now, Derek.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, you say six is terrible for Arsenal, but at the beginning of the season, you look at that top six, and they were always going to be the bottom of the top six, in my book, Arsenal. You know, I said at the beginning of the season, and you remember, I heard you vomiting on the other end of the line when I said it. It's probably the worst Arsenal I've seen, Arsenal team I've seen in the Premier League era, and they've probably proven it as well. There'll be some who will say that, you know, Arsenal should not go unbacked at 11-10 to win at Newcastle, and I'm one of those idiots who believe it, because Newcastle have done their hard work now. They've got 38 points. They ain't going to go down, which is tremendous. What a hat off that is to Rafa Benitez. He's illustrated everything I've said about him this season. Keeping that team up, well, if they do stay up, which is not definite yet, but almost, is a fantastic achievement. And in my eyes, he should be in the running for Manager of the Year, Rafa Benitez. I've got to go for Newcastle, you know, because I just can't see what's in it for Arsenal. They'll qualify for Europa League semi-final, is it, on tonight, Thursday night. They've had a few wins under the belt in recent weeks in the league, but they haven't really played anybody. I just can't see them being at it. So I'm fancying Newcastle here.
They've got a shocking record, Newcastle, against Arsenal, Andy. They've lost each of the last 10 Premier League games against the Gunners. That was since a 0-0 draw in August 2011. I've got to disagree with Derek here. I think 11-10 about Arsenal in the form that they're in at the minute, you have to have a bet on that, don't you?
Well, again, a bit like the previous game, you can make an argument for either team on the basis of what you've just said. Arsenal always beat Newcastle, so 11-10, that's a great price. But then that's previous seasons, and if you look at this season, the away form's been awful. And they're probably going to play a similar team to they played against Southampton, which isn't the strongest team. So there was some 4-1 Newcastle available earlier, and that's obviously been hoovered up by the shrewd Derek McGovern. So they're into 5-2 now, so that's borderline whether that's worth a look now. But do you know what? I can't be overconfident about Arsenal away from home, so I would tend to go with Derek at 5-2 Newcastle.
Interesting, yeah. Two are going for the outsiders, the home side there. Newcastle at 5-2. Let's have a look at Manchester United versus West Brom. Sunday at 4:00. West Brom 10 points from safety, doomed to return to the Championship. Hard to make a case for them at Old Trafford as well here, chaps, realistically. I guess the interesting thing, as I've alluded to a few times on the podcast, is that so many of these big teams have got other things on their mind. You know, United, obviously, you know, the miles away from Man City. We'll keep chasing hard, I guess, but we'll be buoyed by the result against them last week. But all eyes for them on the FA Cup, really, isn't it, Andy? Hard to predict these games when you don't know how at it the teams are going to be, isn't it?
Well, it is, and you know, it's. No United game this season's excited me apart from last week, where, you know. Funnily enough, I was sat in the office slagging Paul Pogba off just before he turned it all on. So there you go. That's what happens. So I just can't get excited about any United game, but they always find a way to win. Do you know what I mean? It's like that. You just, I don't want to watch them on TV because I know what's going to happen. And I think I know what's going to happen to it. They'll probably win to nil.
Derek, which way do you go on this one?
Yeah, well, I'd argue that too. I mean, you can't be backing United at these kind of odds because, you know, again, as I said earlier, if you back a favourite, that's your... You need no doubts. But there's doubts here, i.e. commitment. There shouldn't be, really, because, you know, they keep arguing that they want to finish second and a win will keep Liverpool at arm's length and Tottenham. And then it would be a shame to down tools this week after what they did in the second half against Manchester City last week. So they'll probably win because they're playing West Brom, who, even when they've had it, when they had a lot to play for 3 or 4 weeks ago, showed nothing. Now there's pretty much nothing to play for. They're 10 points away from safety with 5 games to go, so they're down. And they'll go to Old Trafford and probably treat it as a day off for themselves. So, yeah, United will win and probably to nil. They've only conceded 7 goals at home, by the way, this season. Again, you know, and they played every team they played at home is better than West Brom. So why should they concede against West Brom? It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, 16 clean sheets at home. 16 clean sheets in the league. 11 of them at Old Trafford. That's the most in the league. Both of those stats. 8-15 for them to win to nil, which is short enough, but you probably maybe put that in your acca rather than your 2-11, because no one wants 2-11 in your acca. It just
Well, it's the kind of one that you put in your acca when nobody's looking over your shoulder in the betting shop, and you don't mind it then.
That's true enough, yeah. Last and by most means least, West Ham versus Stoke, Monday, 8 p.m. Stoke obviously in big trouble in the league. Second bottom, 27 points, a full 4 points away from Crystal Palace. I suppose West Ham, things have turned round. They're on 34. That doesn't look like they'll go down just because the bottom three look marooned, really. I mean, maybe Southampton can get out of bother with a little bit of a spirited comeback we've seen. But West Ham should be all right. Scoring goals has been the main problem for Derek for Stoke, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. 7 goals this year. That's like fewer than any other Premier League side. And they failed to score in 6 of the last 12. It's desperate times for Stoke, who obviously have been, you know, part of the Premier League for a long time now, and that stays about to end. They're 11-4 to win at West Ham, which doesn't quite qualify for one of your oldest rules in betting. 23-10 the draw, even money West Ham. Are you pleased that the 11-4 doesn't quite match your rule?
I am because they're going out with a whimper, aren't they, Stoke?
It's just such a shame, isn't it, given what they've been known for throughout their stay in the Premier League. You'd rather them go out fighting, wouldn't you?
Exactly. It's you look at this fixture, the two managers involved as well. It's not a fixture that stirs the blood, so much as chills the blood. It's a shocker. West Ham are a better team than most give them credit for, I'll say. But I'd say the same about Stoke, except nobody gives them any credit at all, which is exactly how it should be, by the way, on this season's form. I've looked at this fixture, and I can't back Stoke, because you'd be skint if you back Stoke every week this season. And West Ham, I think a draw would be okay for them. There's two golden rules of football betting. Most punters, number one, most punters don't back draws. Number two, most punters don't back winners. But they'll back a winner here if they back the draw, because I can just see that. I can see West Ham being happy with that. And Stoke, I don't think, are capable of getting any more.
Another one of those daft stats here for you, Andy. Stoke are winless in their 4 Premier League games played on a Monday this season, drawing 1, losing 3. They've lost the last 3 in a row by an aggregate score of 6-0. I always think there's something that maybe gets into a player's mind, you know, think, oh, not Monday night again, Jesus. Can you see West Ham turn them over here to nil?
I can see West Ham winning. I think even money's all right. Stoke are a team in the last chance of the saloon, but the trouble is they've got a Scottish manager who's not going to buy them a drink.
I love it.
So, I'm disappointed with Stoke as well. That, you know, I got all excited when they signed Shaqiri because I thought it was Shakira. But
turns out the hips do lie.
Yeah. But, you know, like you say, Stoke, they've been renowned as battlers and fighters all the way through, and they are actually going out with a whimper. And, you know, I can't think Marko Arnautovic isn't going to enjoy scoring in this game. So, you know, I think West Ham have got to be all right here at evens. I think that's all right.
Yeah, he's 5-2 for Arnautovic to score and West Ham to win. That's enhanced from 11-5, which you kind of wouldn't put anyone off given what Andy's just said there. Shaqiri to score and Stoke to win was 11-2, and that's 6-1. Even money, West Ham, the draw 23-10, Stoke 11-4. And of course, don't forget, bet boosts available on the Sunday and Monday Premier League games. So if you want to boost your bet, when it goes into the bet slip on your mobile, just click the bet boost button and the price magically gets a little bit bigger. Chaps, should we get your naps?
Yes. Everyone's... Let me go first, because I'm on a roll.
You're on a roll of one, which is about as good as it's got this season, to be fair, isn't it? So, yeah, you go first, Derek. What are you going for?
Well, the real trappy fixtures, the ones that we haven't discussed, the 3 o'clock kick-offs on Saturday, they're all tough. Brighton look very big at 10-3 to win at Palace. That's almost me nap. But I just love that one I mentioned earlier, the Bournemouth to score more in the second half than they do in the first half, 2-1. I think that's just far too big.
Yeah, I can understand why you go for that one. It's a quirky one, but worth a go. Andy, what's got your attention?
Shock the world and put Newcastle in at 5-2.
Oh, really? Wow, Newcastle at 5-2. Newcastle 5-2. I will go for... I'm going to go for that Tottenham-Man City game. I do like that daft stat, that 4 goals being scored in two previous games. So I'm going to go for the over 3.5. I'm not sure which way it'll go, but I think City will have had a bit of a talking to and will go out there and play in Tottenham. I think it could be one of those games that's really entertaining. Not an awful lot on the line, obviously. So the over 3.5, it's 6-4. It's a little bit skinny, I must admit, but I do like it. It's either that or Tottenham to win and both teams to score, which I'm not sure which way it'll go. So fingers crossed, chaps. We get the treble up. Thank you very much for your time, Andy. And we will see you next week. Before I let you go, though, have you got a tip on the National? Anything that any of your trading chums have told you to look out for? At the moment, as we record this, we've got 10-1 co-favourites of 3, Annabelle Fly, Black Lion and Tiger Roll. What wins the National, Andy?
Well, I'll tell you what we don't want to win it is a grey horse ridden by a woman that is, it's a female horse wearing pink, and that's By the Eels, which has been heavily backed this week. We're strapping the tin hats on here.
16-1 as we record this.
I know, it's collapsed from 40 this week, so and now every housewife in the world is going to be on that tonight on Saturday. So my personal fancy is Vieux Lion Rouge, which is about 33-1, so that's a decent outsider for you.
Lyon entertain Amiens at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and the home side look good value for the 3 points here. Having put their shock Europa League defeat to CSKA Moscow well behind them, the sole focus for Lyon now is on finishing third and securing a Champions League qualifying spot for next year. It's a two-way battle for that position with Marseille. Neither side look likely to catch the top two, but both are a mile clear of Rennes in fifth. Going into this weekend's round of matches, both Lyon and Marseille are locked together on 63 points, with Lyon's superior goal difference currently keeping them in third spot. So they know that they can't afford to drop the reins and should capitalise against Amiens this week. They just want to afford to win the match, so it's a case of getting a little bit creative with a bet. And with Nabil Fekir set to miss out again potentially, I'm looking towards Memphis Depay to do the damage. The former Manchester United man has been in good nick of late, with 4 goals in his last 3 games, including one in the 5-0 thumping of Metz last week. If he keeps up his good form in a game that means very little to Amiens, who can already afford to dream of the beach, then Depay to score in a Lyon win at 21-20 looks an attractive bet to me this week.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag #YourOdds to @WilliamHill and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag #YourOdds from William Hill.
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome the chief sports writer for the Mail on Sunday, Ollie Holt, to the podcast. Derek McGovern's still with us. We're going to look back on the Champions League midweek. Derek, to be fair, you've done very well so far on the podcast to not eulogise too much about Liverpool reaching the semi-finals. We'll let you have your say in a second. Ollie, it's been some midweek, though, to be fair. I mean, you look at someone tweeted me last night saying, what price would I have got on the results that we've had in the Champions League matches this midweek? And you'd have been a rich man if you'd correctly predicted all the scores we've seen. There's been controversy as well, of course, with Pep, and then last night with the penalty that Real Madrid got. But you know, the Champions League is the premium competition in world football, and it showed it this week, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, there's some terrific absolutely terrific drama, and I guess in some ways it is the premium competition in world football, but it's an interesting last four. I mean, again, it's with the exception of Real Madrid, I suppose possibly Bayern Munich, but not really the four that people would have predicted at the start of the season. It almost has a feel of an underdogs competition. Obviously, I'd hesitate to name, you know, Liverpool as underdogs, but I don't think people at the start of the season would have expected Liverpool to be in the last four. And it's massively to their credit and to Jurgen Klopp's credit, I think, that they are. And they look, I thought City were magnificent in the first half on Tuesday night, but I also thought Liverpool absolutely deserved to go through. You know, the fact that they didn't crumble when in the face of City's dominance in that first half, you know, they were still standing, and they came back incredibly strongly in the second half.
Derek, Klopp's got this kind of he has won things. He's got this kind of this tag of not being a winner when it comes to kind of cup finals. But it strikes me that he's a cup kind of manager, just able to get his team up on those one-off occasions, and you know the tactics seem spot on. Maybe the consistency in the English game isn't quite there yet, but he showed he has a consistency in the Bundesliga. The Liverpool fans have had an interesting relationship with him this year, but at the moment it must be as good as it's ever been.
Well, it is, yeah. I mean, but it still won't match what Rafa did, taking a team to the Champions League final and winning it with Jimmy Traore in the side. I don't know if there's no stiffs like that.
No one can ever emulate that, though, Derek, can they?
No, definitely not. To be honest, like, I am cocker who've got Liverpool in the last four, but still stark in my memory is what happened in that first half the other night, because it was actually the gulf in class between the two sides. I was embarrassed. It was almost like the 2005 final. I was embarrassed at half-time there. I was again the other night. And I'm still, you know, I still think City, in many respects, were robbed, because that perfectly good goal, had that gone in, 2-0, and there would have only been one winner from then on, because Liverpool were down on their knees. So Liverpool rode their luck. And if they got one goal, we knew if they got one goal, it would probably be enough, because City would need five then. And maybe City played into their hands a little bit with the such an attacking outlook, such an attacking lineup. Who knows? You know, who knows? But I thought Liverpool rode their luck, so I'm not jumping on the Liverpool, you know, our names on the trophy bandwagon, because there's still some mountains to climb yet.
What about Roma's performance, Derek? From a betting point
of view,
they were 20-1 to qualify going into the match.
Not big enough. They should have been. Was it the zero broke on the keyboard? Whoever wrote that, because 20-1 was nowhere. No one on air would have backed them at 20-1 to go through 3-0 down against Barcelona. But it bore out what I said, I think, going into the knockout stages, Lee, that when Barcelona played Chelsea in that first match, I thought, this is a very un-Barcelona-like team. There didn't seem to be any menace about them. Okay, they put things right in the second leg, but I actually thought there's not an outstanding team this year in the Champions League. It's up for grabs. They actually backed Seville before they played Man United, and they've gone out. You know, it's winnable for any of the four sides now. And yeah, no matter how well Liverpool performed to get through against Man City, the performance of the week undoubtedly was Roma, or maybe even Juventus against Real Madrid, despite them going out. So Liverpool have taken third billing now.
It's a remarkable story, Roma, this season, just linking Sevilla and Roma, Ollie, because, you know, the scout from Sevilla has ended up at Roma, and they seem to have got rid of a lot of players and they brought more in. To do what they did the other night was just remarkable, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was an astonishing performance, and I think, as Klopp said, for them to do it without Salah as well was it's funny how things work, and people were obviously pointing out the irony of Coutinho moving to Barcelona and then being knocked out, and Liverpool making the semis, and you know there are ironies all over the place in this last four, but. I kind of agree with Derek about Barcelona. I think that obviously they're having a terrific season in La Liga, but I think that's one of the themes of this week and this last four is the vulnerability suddenly that Spanish teams seem to have. I mean, Madrid made it through by the skin of the teeth, but we were within an ace, really, of having no Spanish teams in the semis, and that's quite a turnaround in some ways, and there does seem a vulnerability about them that there hasn't been in the past. And maybe, you know, maybe we are finally seeing a situation where, well, there's more of a spread of teams. I think we are seeing a bit of a renaissance in English teams in Europe as well. It isn't massively reflected so far in the semi-finals, but I think you know, I do think that City, I'm slightly biased towards City because I love the way they play, but I think that City, if City maintain the progress that they've made under Guardiola, I think they're going to be in the shake-up again at this stage next season. Liverpool, to me, are a team that are getting stronger. Spurs are a team that are getting stronger, and United are only going to strengthen in the summer. So I do think, you know, the trend is upwards for English teams in Europe, and maybe we're beginning to see the superiority of the Spanish sides declining a little.
Despite all that's happened this midweek and the great football and the shocks and the drama, that the best thing has to be Gianluigi Buffon's comments about the referee after the game. I just going to read the quotes out. I heard them on the radio this morning. I just thought they were fantastic. He said, the team gave its all, but a human being cannot destroy dreams like that at the end of an extraordinary comeback on a dubious situation. This is the clincher. Clearly, you cannot have a heart in your chest, but a bag of rubbish. On top of that, if you don't have the character to walk on a pitch like this, in a stadium like this, you can sit in the stands with your wife, your kids, having your drink and eating crisps. You cannot ruin the dreams of a team. I could have told the referee anything at that moment, but he had to understand the degree of the disaster he was creating. If you can't handle the pressure and have the courage to make a decision, then you should just sit in the stands and eat your crisps.
You see, I don't think that's great. I think that's pathetic.
I think it's unbelievable quote, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they are, but it's pathetic. It's like, what, just because it was the romantic story and because Buffon wanted to win the Champions League. He thinks the referee shouldn't make the right decision. It's pathetic.
Well, clearly, I think most people think the referee was probably, you know, whatever the decision, it's in the right. But just to come out, to have that level of... it's almost like a Zlatan thing, isn't it? Or to have that level of arrogance that, you know, you think you can criticise someone. Okay, like you say, probably because of his dream. But unbelievable to come out of that sort of stuff.
I mean, look, I wanted Juventus to win. I think probably most people... by that stage wanted Juventus to win, and my heart sank. But I have to say, my initial instinct when I saw that incident was that it was a penalty, and it was a stitched on penalty. And look, not everybody agrees. I've seen lots of people saying they didn't think it was, but I think the majority of people think it was, you know. And I just think for Buffon there's this sense of entitlement that, what, because it was a romantic story, that the referee, you know, the referee should stick with the romantic story. I thought I'm disappointed in Buffon. He's been a fantastic player, and it doesn't tarnish his legacy particularly, because he's had too good a career for that. But I just think he made himself look small.
On the other side of it, Derek, you had Cristiano Ronaldo stepping up and slotting away the 97th minute penalty, top corner, and he's just when you think maybe he's on the drift, 41st goal of the season, scored in his 11th straight goal. It's just a game. Had that scissor kick, of course. Just an incredible player, Ronaldo.
Well, he stunk the place out, Cristiano Ronaldo, last night. Absolutely diabolical performance. Much the same as Mohamed Salah against City the night before. They were both useless. Pop up with the goal and the heroes. It's the store we set in the media, everybody sets by a goal, is just ridiculous.
What about 41 of them in a season?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that, he's probably played better games, and I wouldn't argue about all the games. I'm just talking about last night. Yeah. He was diabolical.
But you've got to step up. But you've got to be the one who steps up and does that in the 97th
well,
minute.
Every professional footballer who's standing should. Over taking the penalty kick would be about 1-3 to score it. So he didn't. Yeah. The 1-3 poke came in. Because he scores a penalty in the 97th minute. He's the hero. I'm sorry, no, I just don't buy it.
Who wins the Champions League, chaps? The betting looks like this. It's 13-8 for Real Madrid. Bayern Munich are 7-4, so not much between the two of them. Liverpool 3-1, and Roma, the rank outsiders, at 10-1. Who wins it for you, Derek, from this point?
Well, of those prices, 10-1 Roma.
It does look big, doesn't it?
3-1 Liverpool, it's ridiculous.
It does look big.
Neither of those will win it. Bayern Munich will win it.
7-4. Ollie, who do you think will win out of those four?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Derek. If I had to say, I'd say Bayern. I mean, obviously, My heart says Liverpool, and I think of the so-called outside bets, I think Liverpool. I'm not saying in terms of price, but I mean, I think Bayern Munich will win it. I think that Liverpool have got a romantic chance, and I do think there's something about Liverpool, and there is something about Klopp and Liverpool that fits with the tradition of Liverpool in Europe. And Derek might laugh at this, but there is something about the Liverpool tradition. I agree with Derek. I'm not into the idea that their name's on the cup or anything like that, but I just think there's something about the tradition at Liverpool, at Anfield, that can bring something extra sometimes out of Liverpool teams. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't discount them, and I really, really, like, you know, I'd love them to do it, but I think Bayern Munich, if I had to say totally dispassionately, I'd go for Bayern Munich.
Derek, I want you to have a little bet on this for me. I've never asked you to have a bet on anything in my life, have I? But we've known each other a long time, so I want you to have a little bet on this for me. You choose the stake. It's 100-1, right? It's Liverpool to win the Champions League. It's Egypt to reach the quarterfinals of the World Cup, and Salah to win the Ballon d'Or 2018. 100-1. Please, for me, have a quid.
No, I'll tell you what, I'll lay that for you.
Ollie, thanks very much for your time. Pleasure speaking to you. Have a great rest of the season. Derek, same to you. Thank you for your time today on the podcast. We'll speak to you next week.
Pleasure.
Yeah, thanks to Ollie Holt there from the FWA, the Football Writers Association. Remember, you can check out all the work of the association at footballwriters.co.uk. We do the punt in association with the FWA, of course, and Ollie Holt. Check him out on Twitter. I'm sure you're probably already following him. At Ollie Holt 22 is his address on Twitter. Right, let's have a look at the Football League, shall we? We've got Pete Farris, Gav Pujolowski and Al Ross all coming up with the Championship, League One and League Two. Best bets of the week.
Hello, I'm Pete Farris, and for my nap in the Championship this week, I thought there was a very obvious bet. Hull have turned around a huge amount under Nigel Adkins, so to find them having scored 9 goals without reply in their last 2 games at 3-4, I was always going to be interested. I was especially interested when Sheffield Wednesday's last game on Tuesday away from home at QPR saw them go 4-0 down very quickly and lose 4-2. The loss to Fulham is neither here nor there, but Sheffield Wednesday's away form season-long has not been brilliant, of course. Just the 4 away wins since August would suggest to me that an improving Hull are the way to go. In terms of Hull losses, well, only 1 home loss since mid-November and fantastic goal-scoring form. Don't forget, not only was there 4 goals scored against QPR back on the 7th of April, they also hit 4 in a 4-3 stunning victory over Norwich back in early March. This is an obvious one for me, so 3-4 Hull City are my nap of the week. Let's hear from Gav Pujolowski and his thoughts on League One.
First rule of betting for me, if you have two sides going head-to-head and one is better than the other and the team that is better are of a bigger price, then you quite simply play them. So that's why I'm playing Plymouth. Again, yes I know, 4 weekends consecutively, but they are at home to Portsmouth and they are deemed by the traders to be the slight outsiders at 17-10. Portsmouth are slight favs at 13-8. So Plymouth, with 12 wins in 13 at home, on my play at 17-10. Portsmouth on a good run of form, and I think Portsmouth will score, but the last two sides to go away to Plymouth and take the lead have gone on to lose the game. Peterborough did it last time out, took the lead, lost 2-1. Bristol Rovers did it, lost 3-2. So Plymouth are full of goals, full of confidence, and even if you score against them and take the lead at Home Park, you're walking away with absolutely nothing. I think to boost the prize, Plymouth and both teams to score is a play, and Plymouth and over 2.5 goals. But my nap, again, 4th weekend consecutively, is Plymouth at 17-10 to win at home to Portsmouth. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
The elephant in the room is Accrington. 5-6 at home against Exeter. Yes, it is the best outright price in League Two. And yet, it is not this week's nap. Partly that's because Exeter are one of the few teams I think capable of denting Accrington's armour, partly because there's a cracking price available in the Crawley-Coventry game. It's a rarely talked about market, this one. It's both score, no draw, 19-10. Both teams to score and overs on the goals, both priced around the even money mark. This market nearly twice the price, and I just can't fathom why. Firstly, the more goals there are in a game, the less likely the draw is. Goalless game has to be a draw. Game with two goals has three possible score lines, only one of which is the draw. Game has four goals, has five possible score lines, only one of which is the draw, etc. And if there's an odd number of goals, obviously can't be a draw. So I'm playing percentages there. There have been 24 goals in Coventry's last six games, 12-4, 12 against, an average of four goals per game. Struggling Grimsby failed to score against them. Both teams to score landed in all the others in that run. It's also landed in seven of their last eight away games. And then there's the home side. Crawley, last six games, 26 goals. That is 4.3 goals per game on average. Both teams to score has landed in all of them. The only times both teams to score has failed to land in 2018 with Crawley is against teams in the bottom four. In the other 14 games this year, both teams to score has landed in all of them. So two prolific teams who just can't keep clean sheets, and yet both score no draw. Between Crawley and Coventry, it's 19-10.
Thanks very much for listening to The Punt this week. Dave Kellner will be back in the hot seat for the weekend edition next week. And remember, if you're having a bet on any of the football this weekend, then very best of luck, and the Grand National, of course. Make sure you check out all the football offers on the William Hill app or at williamhill.com. And if you want to check out the podcast, leave a review, go to iTunes, and you can find it on audioboom.com as well. Thank you very much for listening, and best of luck with all your bets.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.